Thank you for tuning in to In the Light. I praise God that you're listening tonight, and I know that you're going to be blessed as we begin a teaching series on the healing power of God. We're talking about rise and be healed. Glory be to God. You know, healing is the will of God for His people. Healing is the will of God for you today. And so as you make a commitment to tune into these broadcasts, I believe the Lord that your life is going to be changed and that you're going to receive insight into the will of the Father, into the provision of healing that has been made available to you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if you are not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you should make that decision because God has so much available for you, including the healing and wholeness and soundness of your physical body, your mind, your spirit, peace, and your spirit man. God wants it to be all good with you. Glory be to God. He has made provision for your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. And we'll see that in the scripture as we go forth in our teaching. So we're going to start today in 1 John. We're going to start in the book of 1 John chapter 1. Glory be to God. And we're talking about rise and be healed. We're looking at the healing provision of God. You know, I endeavor to always have the heart and mind of God for whatever I bring to His people whenever I'm ministering His word. And as I was seeking the Lord about what He wanted me to share over the next little while with you, He emphatically made me to know that He wanted His people to rise and be healed. That is the heart of the Father. He wants you whole. He wants you strong. He wants you healed right now in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter if you've received a diagnosis that seems to be incurable from a natural standpoint or from a medical standpoint, the hopes of are diminished for you. God, His word has given you a promise that supersedes the report of any doctor, that can supersede the report in this natural realm and cause God to be true and every man a liar. So you lay hold of this word as we proceed in these scriptures. You get them into your heart, write them down so you can continue to go over them in your private time of study with the Lord, and expect to be healed. Expect for those things in your body and in your mind and in your life, in fact, that are not functioning in the perfection of the Lord. Expect for the power of God that is available through and in His word to transform your situations and circumstances. Expect the life force of God to begin to move and flow in you and to cause about a healing and a cure, and to bring about a healing and a cure in the name of Jesus. So we're going to begin in 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. And I want you to listen intently to this scripture because this is the foundation by which you can know without a shadow of a doubt that God has healing for you and that the will of God is never sickness and disease. So listen carefully. 1 John 1 verse 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." So here the Apostle John is about to proclaim a message that he himself, as a disciple with the Lord Jesus when he walked this earth, and now as an apostle to the body of Christ that was being built up to the early church, he is about to give us the key message that will undergird and in fact define everything that we know about God. He says, this is the message that we've heard of Him. So this is what Jesus made known to them Himself. "This is then the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God wanted you to know that as the foundation for receiving whatever it is you need from Him in the area of healing and restoration, that He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, why is that important? Why is that key to our understanding? Because for so long, so many people have been misled and mistaught and misinstructed, in fact, right in the body of Christ, that sickness is oftentimes given to a person or put upon a person by God to teach them something. We need to understand, child of God, that God is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Sickness and disease is evil. The Jewish people have always known that. They've always known that sickness and disease was something evil. It is not a teaching tool that God uses to teach and train His children. If you will take the time to search the scriptures, you will see that God has in fact given a teacher to his children, to the body of Christ. And that teacher is the Holy Ghost. That teacher is the word of God, because 1 Timothy teaches us that all scripture is given for inspiration of instruction and reproof and admonition and instruction in the ways of righteousness. So, yes, we have teaching tools made available to us by the Father. But in fact, it's never any form of evil. It's never anything that derives from the curse for which Jesus Christ himself redeemed us, from which Jesus Christ himself redeemed us, according to Galatians 3. So, in knowing that God is light, you have to understand that with anything that exists, any matter that there is, there are always two sides. There's the right side of a matter and the wrong side. There's the dark side and the light side. And God is light. And in him, there is no darkness, no darkness at all. Can you see how you can make a dividing line? That is an absolute truth from the word of God. And you can apply that to any situation or circumstance where you're endeavoring to discern the will of God. Whether it's in a relationship, whether it's dealing with your finances, whether it's dealing with a matter of morality, understand this: God is light. Praise God. And when you understand this, then you are now equipped, as the scripture goes on to say, to have fellowship with him. And what does that word fellowship entail? It entails partaking of what he has to offer. You know, Peter teaches us that we are partakers of the divine nature of God through the exceeding precious promises of God. See, that is God's avenue of exchange. That's his medium of exchange in our lives for us to partake of what he has to give us. That is his word, his promises to us. But you have to first understand that God is light. You have to understand that in him there is no darkness. So by that, we could deduce what? That in him there is no sickness and disease. How could God be the author of sickness and disease? How could God put sickness and disease on a person to teach them something if, in fact, he has no sickness and disease? You know, I can't give you what I don't have. You may come to me and ask me to give you my firstborn child. Well, I can't accommodate that because I don't have a child at this time. So I can't give you what I don't have. God can't give you what he doesn't have. And he does not have sickness and disease. There is no reservoir of cancer, of tumors, of backaches, of toothaches, of broken legs in heaven. But there is a reservoir, glory be to God, of the power of God, of healing virtue, of anointing, of peace. And that is consistent with what the scripture reveals about God, our Father and our healer. So understand that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And now with that foundation, you are equipped. You are set up to have fellowship with him. Glory be to God. To have fellowship with all that he has made available to you in the salvation experience, which is not only limited to being saved from eternal damnation, but includes the healing of your body, the preservation of your life, the ministry of angels, soundness in every area, financial prosperity, everything being all good and well with you. That is God's will for your life. And let's go now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because as we're laying this foundation, I want you to see that God has no limits to what area of your life he can change and he can impact with his healing power. It is his will for you to be sound and intact, spirit, soul, and body. Because he is a good God. Hallelujah. You know, we could say God is light and God is good. The devil is bad and evil, and he dwells in darkness. You see, Jesus, when he was on the earth in his ministry, he made this bold proclamation towards the end of his life here on the earth. He says, "That wicked one cometh, and he findeth nothing in me." He has nothing in common with me. He was, of course, referring to Satan. And he said, you know, Satan came, but when he came, there was nothing in me that was in common with him. So once again, we see the confirmation that darkness and light are totally separate, and God is light, and he only dwells in light, and there is no darkness in him. There was nothing in the life of Jesus for which Satan could find commonality or common ground. And so it should be in our lives as we continue to grow up in him in all things. But that verifies to us that there is a stark distinction, glory be to God, against the darkness of the enemy and the goodness and the light of God. We are, the scripture decrees and declares, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, children of the day, children of the light. In fact, Jesus says we are the light of the world. He says, when I was in the world, I was the light of the world. But as I go, you now are the light of the world, because we what are his body in this earth. Hallelujah. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to look again, or we're going to look rather, at the scripture that tells us, first of all, reveals to us our three-part nature. You know, we are a tripart being. We're made up of three parts. And, you know, God, he always operates in threes. You know, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's the spirit of man, the soul of man, and the body of man. And even when it comes to the places, the physical places that we know of in scripture, there's heaven, there's hell, and there's earth. So God is a tripart being, and he deals in threes quite frequently. And God deals in threes quite frequently. He is a trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. And we are a tripart being made in the image and likeness of God. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to read in verse 23. And it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And that's not holy as in H-O-L-Y being holy, but holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, whole. "Sanctify you wholly, totally, completely. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now I want to read that to you from the Amplified Translation. It says, "And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and wholly consecrated to God. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah." There, God makes provision for the healing, the wholeness, the soundness of every part of our being. Our entire makeup has been covered in the plan of God for wholeness and for healing. God identifies that we are a spirit. We have a soul, and our soul entails our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we live in our physical bodies. But you yourself are a spirit. And so God has made available healing for your spirit, deliverance for your mind, wholeness and soundness for your body. There is no reason that we should go without, that we should be plagued throughout our lives with sickness and disease and the terrors of the enemy that he would try to put on our lives. No, we have an answer, glory be to God. We have been given provision of freedom in this word and through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, so that we can go free and stay free. Hallelujah. So understand that the heart of the Father for you is that you be healed and you have wholeness and soundness in your body and in your life. Now, let's begin to look, just as we set the foundation, I want to cultivate an awareness for you of what God did and is still doing. Because, you know, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever we can see that God has done in the past, we know that it's available to us today. We have a title deed. We have a blood-bought right to receive it, to appropriate it to ourselves, and to walk in it, bless the Lord, and enjoy it. So I want to begin looking at some scriptures, and from there, we're going to talk about our bodies, our temples, We're going to look at some benefits that God has given to us in the way of healing, and we're going to allow that word to change our minds, to renew our minds, so that we are strong in our healing covenant. We're strong to resist the enemy's attempt to take our health from us, because remember, you are the healed. That was settled on the cross. And so whenever a symptom of sickness and disease comes on your body, you are not the sick trying to get your healing or health. You are the healed protecting your health. How do I know that? Because John chapter 10 tells us in verse 10 that the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So there we see the dividing line. We see the devil's operation, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, again, as I said, when symptoms of sickness and disease, because that's what they are, if you receive them, then they become real to you. You own them, but they're simply symptoms that the devil is dangling before you to see if you'll bite and you'll buy into the lie that he's presenting to you, that you're sick. But no, you are the healed of the Lord, and you must stand strong in your healing. And you must reject his attempt to steal your health, because he is a thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy you. But we don't have to buy into his lies. We stand strong on the word of God, on the truth of God that's revealed to us, that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus was shed for us. And glory be to God, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're gonna look at all of that. But that is where we're headed, and that's what we have to do to maintain our wholeness and soundness, because we do have an adversary who would so much love to see us on the sidelines, taken out of the fight as a soldier of God. You know, when you're sick, you're not very nice. You're not very evangelistic. You're not thinking really about other people, because why? You're hurting. You're uncomfortable. You're diseased. You know, and that is not where God has called us to be. He's called us to live a life of ease in him. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And because he bore the curse for us, all the curse was put upon him, according to Galatians 3. We don't have to take or be subjected to anything that comes from that side. Remember, we're on God's side, because there are always two sides to a matter. Bless the Lord. So let's begin in Matthew. I want to go over to Matthew chapter 4, and I just want you to begin to get an image of the Lord Jesus and his heart towards you, his heart towards healing, so that it's easy for you to know and believe that he wants you whole and well in your body, that he wants it to be all well for you, all good for you, and that whatever you face, he has the answer. He has the healing provision. Remember, I started by telling you that he wanted me to teach this to you. He wants you to know this truth. He wants you to lay hold of this truth so that it can be a reality in your life. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, I want to read verse 23. And this gives us a clear depiction of what a day, a week, a month, a year in the life of Jesus's ministry was all about. This is the heart of the Lord. Matthew 4. Verse 23. And there it says, and he went about, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Do you see that? Jesus's ministry was, again, a trifold ministry. You know, we talked just a moment ago about God and his triune operations and dealings and structures. And Jesus's ministry, and indeed every valid gospel ministry, has three base components. My ministry has these three base components, which is why I'm imparting this healing word to you now. But the base components of his ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. Now, you know, we don't often see a lot of the healing portion of the gospel being ministered in the lives of people, but guaranteed based on scripture, that is a vital part of the gospel, because Jesus, whenever you read about his ministry, it always takes the time to clarify that he taught in the synagogues, he preached among the people, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So whatever you're facing today, I don't see any qualifications here on the type of sickness and disease that he was willing to heal. It says all manner, meaning from the most serious to what we would consider the slightest, from a sniffle and a headache to brain tumors to incurable cancers to AIDS, HIV, whatever it could be, whatever could come up, it's already been defeated. And in Jesus' earthly ministry, he had the power, and he still has the power because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, to heal. Glory be to God. So whatever you're facing, whatever report you've received, you're going to now usurp that with this report, which is the healing power of God for your life. I want to read that scripture to you from the Amplified Translation. And there it says, "And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people." So he healed diseases. He dealt with weaknesses and infirmities. And that so aligns with what he came to deliver us from, as revealed in Isaiah's report and as revealed here in the Gospels. Oh my gosh, child of God, God loves you so much. He loves you so much, and he wants it to be well with you. He wants you to be strong, and he's made available to you the strength of the Lord. He's made provision for you, and you're going to rise up and receive it in the name of Jesus. Get your faith stirred up, hallelujah, and lay hold of what God has for you. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 9. Jesus healed all manner. You know, there's scriptures that say Jesus healed them all. There will be crowds and multitudes upon multitudes of people present before the Lord as he was ministering to the people and to the multitudes, and he would heal every one of them. He can do it. Hallelujah. And you know, there is no distance in the spirit. When you, by faith, lay hold to your healing promise, lay hold to your healing provision through the word of God, that power is immediately ministered unto you. Now, I didn't say the results were automatic necessarily. Sometimes there is an immediate manifestation if you receive the laying on of hands, because there are different ways in which God uses men in the earth to impart his healing ministry to others. Just as he did when he was in the earth, he sometimes would lay hands, sometimes he would speak a word, sometimes he would spit in the ground and take the mud and wipe it over their eyes. I mean, God is limitless. He has multitudes and multitudes upon multitudes of ways to impart his healing power to your life. The key is that you know that, and that you believe that, and you receive that. You see, faith begins where the will of God is known. And that's why we're taking the time to look into the word, to search the scriptures, so we can build a foundation of knowing that God's will is healing, knowing that it is his will for you to be healed. Because so many times, unfortunately, when I've ministered to people and listened to people that are in hard situations where their physical health is concerned, one of the things that I hear, unfortunately, is, "Well, if it's the will of God, then I'll recover." Well, you know what? It is the will of God. And if you don't know that, then you're already sunk. You're already sunk because you're in a place of indecision. No, faith starts where the will of God is known. God's word is God's will. So we must now take it upon ourselves to search out the scriptures to determine, what does the word of God have to say about healing? What does God have to say? What was evident in the life of Jesus, who is the manifest presence of God in the fullness? And then that's where we go with our faith, with our prayers, with our expectation to lay hold of God's best for our lives. Hallelujah. So in Matthew chapter 9, I want to look now at verse 35. Bless the Lord. Matthew 9, verse 35. And in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And again, that's literally every disease, every weakness and infirmity. So can we see the consistency here? He's not doing it one place and not doing it another. It says he went in all the cities and villages Everywhere he went, this was his consistent method of operation. His MO is teaching, preaching, and healing. Embrace the healing ministry that the Lord Jesus has available to you. Embrace it. It is for your good, for your benefit, for your edification. Hallelujah. Because he wants you to be whole. And he wants to preserve you blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus. I want to go now to Luke chapter 9. And again, we're just looking at some scriptures. And I encourage you to review these scriptures. Begin to saturate your mind. Saturate your thinking. You know, you should constantly be feeding your life and your faith with the healing words of God. That's how you stay in a place of strength and health. You know, it's one thing to be healed from an attack and from a sickness and disease or an infirmity or a weakness that comes upon your body. And that's glorious and that's wonderful. But it's entirely different to stay whole from the beginning and never even have to encounter that. And that doesn't mean that you won't have an opportunity. That doesn't mean the devil won't try to put symptoms of a flu on you or symptoms of an infection of or some crazy type of disease on you. But you resist it in the name of Jesus. I will never lie down and roll over and accept the enemy's trash on my life and in my body. You know, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, he was serious about the temple. He wanted the temple to be clean and orderly. And that's the way we have to be about our temples. We don't let any type of junk and trash come up in our temple. We don't let the devil just put sickness and disease on us anytime he wants to. No, we have power in the word of God and in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus to resist it. And the Bible says when we resist him, he will do what? He will flee. Glory to God. So Luke chapter 9, and we're going to look now again at some more activity in the life of Jesus when he was on the earth. You know, Jesus never sinned. He did the whole will of God when he was in the earth. So if he was doing healing acts when he was in the earth, and the Bible says that he was the spotless Lamb of God, then that means that he was in line with the Father's will, and that means that healing is the will of God. Hallelujah. Luke 9. Just give me a moment to get there in my Bible. And we're going to look at verse 6. Luke 9. Verse 6, and there it says, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Here again, we see Jesus' ministry as being administered by the disciples that he had assigned to go out into the various towns, and they were to preach the word and they were to heal. Glory be to God. It says they preached the gospel and they healed everywhere. Everywhere. Glory be to God. Healing is available today. Everywhere. Wherever you may be, wherever you are listening to this message, listening to this word, healing is available right there where you are. As close as you are to this word is as close as you are to the healing power of God for your life. Luke 9, let's go down further to verse 11. And there it says, and the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Oh, that just touches me right in the deepest part of my heart. Can't you just see the Lord and all of his compassion and all of his mercy and all of his goodness? You know, after he's done teaching them and ministering to them, identifying those who still needed a little more, those who had need of healing. And making that available to them, not sending them on their way incomplete and broken, but making them whole. You know, that word whole literally means that there's nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. It's derived from the Hebrew word shalom or peace. And that literally means to be whole with nothing missing and nothing broken. You know, in the Jewish faith and in Israel, the Jews greet one another with that greeting of shalom. And what they're saying to one another is, how is your nothing missing and nothing broken? That's God's heart for us. He doesn't want anything to be missing out of your life. He doesn't want any area to be broken. He wants it whole. God wants you whole. And if your health is missing, if something is not working right in your physical body, in your mind, in your soul, then you are not whole. But the good news, the gospel, glory be to God, is that provision has been made. Healing is available. Jesus is alive and well. He is the healer, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you have need of healing, then know and believe and take confidence in and be comforted in the knowing that he has the power to heal you. The same as he healed when he was alive on this earth, he's available and able to heal you today. Bless the Lord. So you can rise and be healed. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 10. I love the Lord. He's so good, and his compassion towards his people is so awesome. Acts chapter 10. And we're just getting a good overview of God's manifest healing power in the life and ministry of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And in verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, God here says that healing is what? Good. So that is his will for you, because God is what? Light. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. God was empowering him to carry out the healing ministry to his people, because that's what he wants for you. And Jesus did it everywhere he went. Any satanic oppression can be broken by the hand of God. There is nothing that the devil can try to do to you that God cannot reverse and change on your behalf. As you receive the word, as you believe the word, God is then able to move into your circumstances, move into your situations, and bring about a change that will bring you into perfect alignment with his written word. Because that is his revealed will to us. But you have to believe it. You have to reach out by faith wherever you are. And you have to exalt God's word higher than your feelings, higher than any pain you may be experiencing, higher than any reports from a doctor or someone that is telling you that your situation is hopeless. And you have to on purpose choose to agree with what God has said to you in his word. And if you could see the testimonies after testimonies throughout the ages of healing that have been effected in the lives of God's people, you would never again doubt if God wanted to heal you. And you don't have to doubt, because God has given you his promise, his word, which has been ratified, the Bible tells us, by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And now I want to go over to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And I want to look there at verse 2. And it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Even in heaven, God had a provision, has a provision, for the healing of the nations, the healing of all peoples. Not just a select few, but everyone. See, remember, the scripture says Jesus healed them all. And God, so much so, has healing as a part of his divine will for it, for all people, that he has set aside the tree of life to minister that. Well, we have the tree of life right here and now on this physical earth, and that is the word of life, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4 that God's word is life to us, and it is health and healing. Some translations translate that word literally as medicine to our flesh. You know, I think often when I see that scripture about a time when I was in a meeting with some sorority sisters, and we were having a fellowship, and one of our sorority sisters who was a bit older brought her daughter to the meeting that day, and it was around Christmas, and so we were having some punch and some refreshments, and her little girl, she began to drink some of the punch, which was red, and after she drank it, she said, "Ah, it's medicine." Well, to her, it reminded her of medicine. She likened it to medicine because the cough syrup and the medicine she was taking, in fact, was red and had that consistency. And you know, when I take the word of God, I have the same reaction. Ah, it's medicine, because it is medicine. Hallelujah. It's healing and health to me and to you. So as you entrench yourself in the word, allow it to build you up and to know that God is light and healing is for you today.